And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to go to the gospel account as God has preserved for us and through the apostle, through Matthew, this incredible event of the Epiphany. And I'd like us to consider verses 1 and 2 again this morning as this has been revealed by God to us. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." What an incredible event. And so this Epiphany, we once again recall this historical account. And Epiphany, the word means manifestations or shining forth. And so during this season of the church year, the Epiphany season deals with the first revealings of Jesus in his glory to the world, to reveal that this child, this infant, this one that has become flesh among us is someone unique and very special. In fact, as the Magi have declared, he is King, he is the Messiah, he is God. They have come to worship him. And so during this season also, we follow Jesus' journey and in his baptism and in the visit of the Magi and a number of other events that we're going to hear about in upcoming services that we have here at Trinity as we follow these accounts as God reveals them. But most of all, we celebrate Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And how blessed we are as people of faith to understand, to know, to believe, and to trust who Jesus truly is. The majority of the world continue to renounce him, but it's through faith that you and I have been blessed. And so these Magi, they come to visit. And don't be confused, by the way, with the famous hymn. In fact, we even sang that hymn on Christmas Eve, We Three Kings, because that can be a little confusing. It's a great hymn, and yet we don't know how many Magi there were. The three comes from the three gifts, and so assuming three, each bringing a different gift, but we really don't know. That's vague. And also, it seems that these kings, quote-unquote, really weren't kings, but they were something very uniquely different. They were scientists of the day. They were scholars. They were philosophers. They were certainly astronomers and even possibly priests. It's an interesting position. And in Scripture, you know, we can't really hone in to specifics other than the ones that I've already shared. Another thing is they certainly were held in high esteem by those in the cultures in which they lived. And the other thing we know is that they came from the east. And that's very vague because God doesn't say specifically what part of the east from which they have come. And yet, as we go through Scripture, it seems reasonable to believe that they probably came from the region of Babylon. And why do we say that? Well, over 600 years prior to this event, we know that God brought his people into exile, into Babylon, and there was a famous Magi there by the name of Daniel. And you can read Daniel's prophecy in Scripture in the section of the Minor Prophets. And we hear in Daniel chapter 2, as you see it on the screen, verse 48, King Nebuchadnezzar was king at that time. Daniel remained a faithful child of God in this heathen land. And through a series of events, Daniel is highly respected by this heathen king to the extent that we see this happens. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon, and then look at this, and placed him in charge of all of its wise men, the magi. That word comes from magician, but these weren't magicians as we think of them as a magician today. But they were magi. They were looked upon as being wise men. And Daniel now is put at the head of this group in Babylon. And so we know that then through the centuries that follow, that the church was born there. God's truth was brought to this heathen land, and perhaps these magi, as we hear Matthew give this account, perhaps they came from learning the scriptures through Daniel initially, and other Christians God had called to be there at that time. The other thing we know about these magi, as God reveals it, is that they followed a star. And they simply say, we saw his star. And, you know, they certainly knew the Old Testament scriptures, or it seems that they did, as we've already discussed. And so this sign that God gives them with the star is certainly connected with the scriptures that God also had revealed to them. It's interesting, in Numbers 24:17. And this is in the context of God's people being rescued, remember, out of Egypt. And then they rebelled against God. And instead of instantly going to the promised land, remember that that generation wandered out in the wilderness for 40 years, where part of the region they roamed in was Moab. And Balak was king of Moab. And this is really a fascinating part of Scripture. You may want to pull this out and read it as well. This is where the donkey speaks to Balaam. Can you imagine that? But Balak goes to Balaam, another prominent figure of the day, and he wants him to join forces with him, Balak, to curse the Israelites. And Balaam's all in. He's going to do this. Well, through a series of events, by God intervening and also through a donkey speaking, finally got Balaam's attention, and Balaam confronts Balak then with what God has revealed to him. And this is one of the portions of one of the oracles that he spoke. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. And then look at that. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab and the skulls of all the people of Sheth. And so this is a messianic promise in the midst of this oracle, and it's connected with the star. We see Jesus oftentimes in Revelation referred to as the star as well. Really a fascinating theme in Scripture. And so this prophecy must have been known among the church, among the believers now that were living in Babylon at the time of these magi. And so not surprising then when they saw this star, and by the way, they saw it in the constellation of Judah, which now we know as Leo, the lion. They interpret that as the sign of the Messiah. And by the way, in our men's Thursday morning Bible study, we've looked at the Star of Bethlehem. One Advent season, I showed the Star of Bethlehem here in the sanctuary. If you haven't seen this video, it's incredible. It's theorizing what the star may have been, and it's just absolutely fascinating. But we look at verse 2 of Matthew 12 again, and in all of this, it leads to magi to come to Jerusalem and to ask the question, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Wow, look at the detail in the question that they bring to the leaders, the authorities in Jerusalem. And it's quite a clear confession from these magi. And by the way, these are Gentiles. These Gentiles that come into the land of the Jews, and they are excited to find this child. So they confess that this is a child, hasn't grown up yet, he's infant. Misleading, maybe, in our manger scene, you could get the impression that the wise men came shortly after Jesus was born, but that's not the case. It was probably about 2 years later. Jesus is no longer a little baby in this manger. He's a small infant child now, and they're living in a house somewhere in Bethlehem at the time. But they arrive inquiring about this child, and they confess that they don't question, they confess he is the King of the Jews. They've come to see a king. And they acknowledge that even though this one is only an infant child, that his kingship has already been established. Wow, this is quite a confession, isn't it? Quite a confession of faith from these Gentile wise men. And by the way, this is really fascinating too. They do not inquire about the King of the world, but it's the King of the Jews. Do you realize, and I never caught this before, the Jews themselves refused to recognize Jesus as King of the Jews. They always referred to him as King of Israel. You can look at it at the passion events when Jesus is hanging on the cross. They demand that if you are the King of Israel, come down from that cross. They never once refer to Jesus as King of the Jews. Who refers to Jesus as King of the Jews? Another Gentile. It's Pilate. And it's Pilate's soldiers. And the soldiers are mocking Jesus, right? They slam the crown of thorns on his head and mock him as King of the Jews. And Pilate's puts the sign in several different languages, posts it on Jesus' cross, this is the King of the Jews. And then remember, the Jews really got upset about that. And they said, no, 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 he just claimed, you need to put up on that sign, he claimed to be the King of the Jews. And what does Pilate say? What I have written, I have written. And there it is, posted by a Gentile heathen ruler, the truth that the Magi had confessed so many years ago about Jesus and who he is. And then they say, we have come to worship him. Wow. Worship him. This is a king unlike any other king. And so they clearly understand by their confession that Jesus is not only king, but he is also the Messiah. He is God, and he is worthy of worship. And you know, it's very revealing in the gifts that they provide to him. And this is pretty fascinating as well. Gold, I mean, that would be an appropriate gift, right? In the culture of the day, and even still today, gold to offer to a king. And as Mr. Whitney shared, the frankincense, that was used in worship. So in the gifts that they provide, the Magi are revealing several characteristics about this one whom they have come to see. The gold representing that Jesus is king, the frankincense representing that this is a spiritual event, this is one worthy of worship, and they come to worship this king as they acknowledge and as they give in the gift. But then there's the myrrh. And the myrrh was perfume, but a very special perfume. It was really an embalming spice. Wow, think about that. They brought an embalming perfume or spice and gave it to this infant child. They knew from the scriptures, they knew as God had revealed to them through the star that this king would die to save his people. And it's revealed in the gift that they provide. Now, these are Gentiles, and they're coming to Jerusalem, the heart of, quote unquote, God's people, the Jews, the chosen, and I'm sure they must have been excited. They must have assumed, wow, if God has revealed this star to us Gentiles, when we get to Jerusalem, it's going to be incredible. They're going to be excited. They're going to be talking all about this new king. And yet they get there, and there's no excitement. But don't you love it? The word that we hear to describe the emotion of King Herod and of the Jews in Jerusalem has nothing to do with excitement, but it's the word troubled, disturbed, when they heard this message from the Magi. Of course, Herod, we know, was very jealous immediately. You know, hey, I'm the king of the Jews. You know, how dare you come here and tell me that one has been born king of the Jews? And so he was troubled to the extent that he was going to try to wipe out this newborn king. And as Mr. Whitney shared, we're going to hear this in upcoming readings. But all Jerusalem was troubled as well. And I would imagine that they were troubled because if King Herod is troubled, that means this could bring severe persecution upon them. Interesting what is going on in Jerusalem. Here are the people who had the written word of God. Here are the people who knew the Old Testament history well. And they're the ones that are troubled, and the Magi are excited. Interesting. Well, it shouldn't shock us. In John chapter 1, in John's Gospel, verses 10 through 13, here's the testimony of the Word, who is Jesus Christ, who comes into the world. He, meaning Jesus, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Think about that. The denial of the Creator today and virtually all aspects of our culture. The world did not recognize him. And then look at this. He came to that which was his own, to the Jews. But his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. That's the Magi, born of God. God came to them. The Holy Spirit came to them and changed their hearts from unbelief to faith. And we hold that same confession. As we have been blessed to be baptized, as we have been blessed to hear and to continue to hear the Word of God, God continues to shine forth in our hearts. And he has brought us to this same confession of the Magi. And so shining forth, epiphany. And you think of the shepherds, those lowly shepherds out in the field. What was there but a bright light? The glory of the Lord shone upon them. And God announced to them this same good news. The Magi, they received the star. And they hear the good news. And through this, they are brought to meet their Savior. You know, Epiphany many times is referred to as the Gentile Christmas, because it's really a celebration of God reaching out to the Gentile, meaning non-Jewish world, with the same truth and the same desire that they, we Gentiles, would also be part of God's kingdom. Well, let me ask you this question before we stop today. What did the wise men have to prepare them for the journey of faith that you and I don't have? And the answer is nothing. Nothing. They had the Word of God, and through that Word they believed. They followed faithfully the sign that God had given them. They did not let distance stop them. They didn't allow time, the time required for them. What a long journey, probably 700 plus miles in that day. They didn't allow the time required to stand in their way. They did not let the hostility of Herod slow them down. Nor did they, the elite. I mean, these are elite, wealthy men. But they didn't let the poverty and the humility of Jesus and his surroundings confuse or deter them. But what did they do? They read the word, they followed the word, they believed the word, and as a result, they met their Savior. And it's through the power of that word that they were able to do all these things. You see, the written word of God, as Mr. Whitney shared with the kids, that's our roadmap today. That's our star. That is our GPS, if you will. I mean, everybody uses GPS now, right? But the Word of God, the written Word of God, the Holy Bible, that's quite a GPS. And we are blessed. You know, virtually everyone uses GPS. Wouldn't it be wonderful if virtually everyone used the Word of God? What an encouragement for us to be in the Word. And we are more blessed than even the Magi in the sense of perspective. They hadn't seen all of these historical events transpire yet, mainly Jesus' passion at the cross. They believed, they trusted, but we now live in the fulfillment. We can look back. That's a historical event. And even more so, we can look back and know the empty tomb, to know Easter, to know that Jesus is alive and well, that he indeed is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We live in this perspective of fulfillment. What a journey that we are blessed to be on in faith, living in God's favor, knowing the victory has been won. And so we have the same confession, don't we? In the midst of the Herods of our day, we confess by bringing our gifts to the Lord, and I think we can look at it as threefold. We've got our time, we've got our talents, and we have our treasures, and God gifts all of us differently to share those gifts. And we confess by worshiping him, even as we're doing here this morning. Isn't it really awesome we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship this one who is King? And certainly in our worship, we are nurtured and encouraged. We are absolved of our sins. And we are refreshed and renewed and uplifted in spirit. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let us then follow God's GPS. And let us go wherever God chooses to lead us. Quite a GPS, his word, his light revealed. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.